We probably have all seen people who get frustrated with a task. And then before you know it, they're yelling, "I quit!" And they storm off. And the funny thing is, if you think back, especially if it's been a while, do you really remember who it was that did that? I know I've seen people do that. But the thing is that when somebody leaves a task, we tend to forget them. Nobody really remembers who they were. But there are times when I ought to quit. I can allow myself to get into a rut. I can easily continue down the same path because it's familiar. Even when I know the destination is not what I want. And that's what happens to a lot of us. We get into a familiar rut. We're going down. We know it's not the right thing. But we just don't quit. And so what I really need to do is stop worrying. That's one of the things that happens a lot of times. I know we all want to control the future. We all worry about things that won't work out just the way we want them to. But one of the things I have to come to grasp with is the fact that I can't control the future. I just don't have that power. In Matthew chapter 6, James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, and in verse 13, James chapter 2, and starting with verse 13, it says, "For judgment will be merciless." Now I wrote down the wrong verse. I'm at chapter 4. I need James 4. Yep. I need James 4. James chapter 4, and verse 13. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." And so what I really need to do then is just learn to relax and trust that God knows what is best. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 25, Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, so as to what you eat, or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothes himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's focus on what we can do today. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. I need to learn to commit myself to God. God knows my needs. God is able to take care of me. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 16, the chapter of Proverbs 16 is about God being in control. But in verse 3 of that chapter, It says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. If I just turn life over to God, working as He wants it worked, things will work out in the long run. I keep getting reminded. I got reminded yesterday. I went for one of my 6-mile walks. I made it 4.5. I'm getting old. This body doesn't work the way it used to. I can't do the things that I once did. And there's things I want to accomplish, and yet, you know what? I realize that I don't have the time to get them all done. Because I don't have control over how long I live or what tomorrow will be like. And so I really need to quit focusing on myself. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer my life. I got to stop looking at it that way. In fact, the reason why Christ came, the reason why Christ died, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 15, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. That is why Christ came. He didn't come so that I can have everything I want. He came so that I could live the life he wants me to live. It's not about me. And so I need to let go of my life so that I can have life. Take a look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And in verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I can focus on myself and lose it. Or I can let go of my life and gain it. It's that simple of a choice. You know, that's the problem that James and John had. If you go back to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, part of our scripture reading this morning, starting at verse 35, it says, James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus saying, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant that we may sit on your right hand and one on your left in your glory. What do they want? They were focused on their life. And they were really about what the glory they could gain. But Jesus points out later in verse 42, he said, calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. To the world, it's all about power. The power you have over other people. But notice what he says in the next verse, in 43. But this is not the way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. What does Christ want from us? Does he want us to become great, powerful rulers? And the answer is no. He's looking for people that are willing to serve. And so that's our memory verse. See, I did fit it in there. That's what we're going to memorize this month. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus set the example for us. Jesus shows us the way that he wants us to live. It's not about me. It's not about the things I want. It's about the service that I can render. If you actually think about it, the reason why so many people have difficulties with that is really about pride. Pride is the problem there. If you look back at Proverbs chapter 16, this time in verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. If you think about it, the thief doesn't think about the person he robs. It's completely about getting what he wants. And it's really the key to most addictive sins as well. The homosexual argues that it's what he wants. That he's driven to have sex with the same gender. Because the other gender doesn't thrill him. It's about what he wants, his pride. The drug addict is focused on escaping his problems. Getting lost in a chemical high. Again, it's about what he wants. He wants to forget. I've lost track of how many boys I've tried helping out of pornography. They slide back into it because of stress. I need an escape. Or wanting the thrill. It's about what I want. And it's a constant struggle. Pride comes into the center of all those problems. And what I really need to learn is to quit sin. Christians are to have died to sin. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who died is freed from sin. Now we have died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is neither to die, never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive toward God, or alive in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Christians have died to sin. It shouldn't be no longer a matter. And yet, how many of us get focused on whatever favorite sin that we have? We're supposed to be crucified to this world. In Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Jesus came to do away with sin, and I have to die to that worldly influence. I can't be focused on this life and reach the next. In Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 24, it says, Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So it's no longer about the desires of the world. It's no longer about my desires. So many of the sins really focus on what I want. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose. Because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Again, it's not my life, it's Christ. And for that, I need to die to my lusts, my desires. In fact, he goes on in verse 3, he says, For the time already past is sufficient for you to carry out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. And they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. It doesn't matter what everybody else wants. You know, the concerns that we might have, what other people might think of us, too often keeps us from changing. Now, one way that happens is sometimes people look at it and say, you know what? If I changed, and my friends are not going to like me anymore. But it has to be about Christ. I have to give my life up. I got to quit this world. Sometimes it's, well, what are my mom and dad going to think about this? Well, my aunt or uncle, if I change, then what about them? Sometimes to be a follower of Christ, I have to go contrary to what everybody else expects because I have to follow what God wants. In Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Am I ready to gain from quitting? Jesus offers so much. In fact, if you look in the very next verses, he tells us what we can gain. He says, He who lost his found his life will lose it, and he who lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who has received me receives him who sent me. What Christ is offering is not just my service and giving up my life and what I desire and what I want. He's offering us something else in His place. We follow after what He desires and what He wants, and I gain a life more incredible and more wondrous than I could imagine. And I get to be with my God and live eternally. That's what Christ is offering. But heaven's not here on earth. And so I got to let go of this earth and strive to follow after God. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children, God would like the prayers of your brotherly behalf. Again, we offer an opportunity to follow after Christ, to become one of His, to serve Him. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected?